So today's daf is daf Yutess. Let's start from the top, four lines down. Yutess Amun Aleph. The Gemara had been discussing various halachas and applications of tzeros. Again, just to remind ourselves, tzeros, according to Rabbanan, if a pebble knocks up, it's some type of indirect damage tzeros. So according to the Chachamim, you pay chati nezek only, and according to Simchos, you pay a nezek shalom. Whenever there's an indirect damage, again, if the animal's walking and a pebble jumps up and break something, that would be indirect. And anything similar to that. So, the Gemara asks four lines down on Yutess Amun Aleph, Bai Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks, Yesh Shinoi L'Tzeros? Is there such a concept as Shinoi? And therefore, it would be L'Ruvia Nezek. So, do we assume Tzeros? Tzeros is something that's Orche, it's normal. But let's say there's something that's abnormal. The Shinoi, maybe you should apply Chati Nezek of what would normally be paid. So normally for a regular tzeros is a half a nezek, so a shinoi would be half of half, of course, would be a quarter. Oh, ain't shinoi l'tzeros, or do we say there's no shinoi l'tzeros l'via nezek? We don't have such a concept. Whenever there's damage caused by tzeros, you'd always pay half a chati nezek. That's the shiloh. So what's the example of a shinoi? So Rashi says, this is three lines down in Rashi, ye shinoi l'tzeros l'via nezek. The Rabbanon, the Pli Yesimchus. This is all within the world of Rabbanon, the question is. Vamri Tzeros ki Orchei Chati Nezek. Rabbanon hold a normal case of Tzeros is half the damage. Heichei the Shinoi, when there's a Shinoi behen Kigon, what's a Shinoi? Bata Biragla. Let's say the animal kicks something. Umachmas Biut, and because of the kicking is not something normal. But Machmas, the kicking, it teases Tzeros, then pebbles jump up from that kicking. Vishibro Kalim, it breaks Kalim. Mi chashu shinoi, have a kitam. We view that as shinoi, and now this is considered a first offense of something as shinoi. Who mishalim revia nezek, or do we say not? That's the shaila of the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, tivsha la midirava. We can answer the question from another question that Rava had asked. The bai Rava asked, yesh hada l'tzeros, o ein hada l'tzeros. Is there such a thing as hada, which is muad? Can you create muad by tzeros, or not muad by tzeros? Now that assumption, and the assumption is, that mechlal de'ein shinoi, that implies that there is no shinoi at all. Because if there is shinoi, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says mechlal de'ein shinoi, because de'iye shinoi, if there was such concept as shinoi, l'revia havichati nezek l'adasan, amai tzarech l'rava l'mibbe, why should he ask a question? So right, if we assume that there is such a concept as shinoi, so that means you would pay revia for those shinoi tzeros, then of course it's pashut. When you do it three times, it turns into something that's muad. And Rava would have no need to ask a question anymore. So from the fact that he's asking a question, implies that there is no shinoi, you always pay chati nezek. And the question is, if it becomes so regular, will tzeros ever upgrade to a nezek shalim? That's a shiloh. So the Gemara says, "Dilma Rava im Tim Salomar Kamar." Maybe Rava is asking. He's not certain. He's asking if we assume one way, meaning, "Im Tim Salomar Ein Shinoi Yesh Hada or Ein Hada." Maybe he says, "I don't know what the answer is, whether the Shinoi or not Shinoi." But in the event that we paskin that there is no Shinoi, then will we say there's Hada or not Hada? But it's still possible. He holds maybe there really is Shinoi, so he's not really sure. And the Gemara answers, in the end, it's a teku. We don't know if there's shinoi, and we don't know if there's hada either. Comes along, Rav Ashi asks another question. By Rav Ashi, koach kochal l'simchas ki kochal dami? Olo. Is koach kochal, that's a secondary. So let's say animals walking, pebbles kick up. That pebble, let's say, hits another pebble, and that second pebble breaks kalim. So is that considered like the initial koach, and Simchus would think it's a full amount, Nezek Shalim? Or maybe there, Simchus would agree, since it's indirect, maybe there he'd agree it's only Chati Nezek. So the Gemara says, Mi gamar halacha, umoki la bekoach kocho, o dilma lo gamar halacha klal. So they're trying to understand, within the world of Simchus, do we have a halacha mosh besinai? Is this a gamar halacha? And we say koach kocho, that even koach kocho is considered his actual koach, an initial force, or perhaps there is no gemar halacha at all. Let's see if Rashi explains this. Then the question really is, we know the concept that Tzoros is Halacha Moshe Sinai. So we want to know, did Halacha Moshe Sinai pass on to us what the Halacha would be by Koach Kocho? There's no way to really know this. If it's a whole thing's Halacha Moshe Sinai, we can't really derive anything. It was either taught to us through this Mesora, or wasn't taught to us through this Mesora. And the Gemara doesn't have an answer. We don't have such a Mesora, what Simchas held, and therefore the Gemara ends in a Teku. Okay, so now the Gemara says, it quotes from the Mishnah. Haysam mevabetes, let's say the animal kicked, osha yutzaros menatsin mitachas ragleha, or the pebbles were jumping up from below the legs of the animal. Vishibras a kalum, and it breaks kalum along the way, mishalim chati nezek. So that's a din of tzaros. So Gemara wants to know now, e bailu hechi kamar. How is the Mishnah supposed to be read? Is it read as Haysam mebetes vehezeka bibiuto? Right, because the Mishnah doesn't finish the line. It says it kicks, or Tzoros jump up. It kicks and what happens? Does it mean it kicks and it damages through the kicking? Or do we say, Tzoros, or there's Tzoros, this is the way the Mishnah should read, or pebbles jump up, ki or chayu, in a regular way of walking, and then the halach would be Mishalim Chati Nezek Rabbanan Hui, and Rabbanan authored the Mishnah. Oh, maybe the way the Mishnah should be read is, O Dilma, Haysa mebetes vezika mibiuto, or it should be read that that's the animal's walking and it kicks and causes damage in its kicking. Oh, tzroros machmas biut, or there's tzroros that come about because of the kicking, not because of the regular walking, but because of the kicking, and that's when you pay mishalim chati nezek. Only in that scenario where it's a tzroros ayidei shinoi because he kicked in this case. That's not orchayo. That's not normal. Only then you pay chati nezek. But the implication is ha ki orchay. But if he Tzoros came about because of an orche, because the animal is walking regularly, then that would imply mishalim nezek shalim. You would pay a full amount, and it would turn out that money simchas, so that simchas would be the author. So that's what the Mishnah is not sure how to read. That second line, when it says tzoros, is tzoros referring to when it came up because the animal was walking regularly, and yet you still pay chati nezek? Or is tzoros only came about because it was through biuta, through kicking, and only then you pay chati nezek, implying if it was done irregularly, in a normal fashion, it would be nezek shalim, and it would really be authored by simchas. That's the suffix.
Animals have the concept of intent also.
This is not intent here. Sometimes it does, but this case is not an issue of intent. It's talking about whether the animal is walking in a regular way. Derech hilucho, it's walking.
That's why an animal walks.
But that's not intent to cause damage. When he walks,
no, it's
right?
Not intent.
Right, so when you walk, when you drive, sometimes pebbles kick up when you walk. So that wasn't intent. But if it was done in a normal way, the halacha is tzoros. Maybe only then you pay tzoros would be chati nezek, according to, and then the rabbanon would be the author. But if the case again here, the Mishnah is talking about, it's tzoros through kicking, and kicking is not normal. That's a shinui. Maybe only then you would pay chati nezek, according to the Mishnah. But if the animal was walking regularly, we can infer from there, maybe you would pay Nezek Shalim, and really Sumchus would be the author. Okay, so the Gemara answers. Tashma, the Gemara brings a raya, Misefa. The end of the Mishnah says, Darsa al hakli, let's say the animal steps on the kli, breaks it, v'shavarta, v'nafal ha-shever al hakli, acher, and now that broken piece of pottery flies and hits another kli, v'shivro, and breaks that second kli, al harishon mishalim Nezek Shalim. So why? What's the distinction? So I understand why the first one you pay the full amount because that was darsa. He mamash stepped on it. That's a din of regel. So then the problem is the second one now is tzoros, the pebble, the piece of kli broke up. So why would you pay chati nezek? Must be, it can't be sumchus, must be that the rabbanon authored this mishnah, because they hold of tzoros as chati nezek, not sumchus. Why says v'chitei? Maybe you're going to say rishon, rishon lataza, sheni, sheni lataza. Maybe there's really an extra step here, which we have to read within here. Maybe it should be read as when you break the kli, one other kli broke. That was rishon, and then that caused yet a second kli to break. So there's really two stages here, and maybe really it's simplest as the author that when it says you pay the full amount, that's not going on the kli that he stepped on. It's going on the first one that got knocked, the first tzoros here. And the first tzoros, simchas would paskin, you pay nezek shalim. But the secondary tzoros, that's when he would say chati nezek. And now we could say, v'shayni la l'sumchas ben kocho l'koach kocho. And now we could conclude from this new case of the Mishnah that simchas does in fact distinguish between a first force versus a secondary force. So Ella, so that's the case, if that's really the way that the Mishnah should be read, Elohad the Bayer Ravashi, the Ravashi asked above, he asked that very question. Koach kochel asumchus kochel dami? Olav kochel dami? That was his shayla above. Is a secondary, really two steps away, two steps removed damage, is that going to be chati nezek lefi sumchus, or that would still be nezek shalem? Tifshet le? Delav koach kochel dami? We could conclude from our new reading of the Mishnah that's not like the first koach, and you would only pay chati nezek. So, Gemara says, Rav Ashi k'rabban mokila. Rav Ashi really held that this Mishnah should be read as like the Rabbanon. And there's no raya here at all to Simchas. That's why he couldn't bring a raya from here. And Ubay Lehachi, and his question was, Haysam mibabetas vezeka bibiuto. Otsaros k'rchayu chati nezek. So, the way he reads the Mishnah is, if the animal kicks something and damages it, or pebbles knock up while he's walking regularly through the shuk and break something, it's chati nezek, like the Rabbanon. Ha machmas biut revia nezek. So now the way the Mishnah can be read, but only because the animal is walking regularly, do you pay chati nezek, but let's say the animal was doing a shinoi and the animal kicked something and through the kicking a pebble popped up. That would be a shinoi in the tsaros. Now the question is, Hamachmas biut again, revia nezek, via shinoi, do you pay only revia because it's a shinoi of the tsaros? O dilma, haisam abetes vezeku bebiuto. O tsaros machmas biut chati nezek, vein shinoi. And maybe that's the shaila, how do you read the Mishnah? Is this talking about tsaros of a shinoi, or talking about tsaros of orchayu? That's the new suffix, how to read the Mishnah, a still unclear teku. So again, very, very confusing. Many different ways to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is very, very open, and they're taking every possible route and having all these questions of how to understand tsaros, and we're left with nothing but tekus here. Okay. Gemara asks another question. Ba'i minei Rabbi Abba bar mamel mi Rabbi Ami. And Amrila, others say he asked Rabbi Chia bar Abba. What's the question? Ha'isam ha'lechas b'makom shi'af sharla elim kein minatza ubata. Let's say the animal is walking through a very narrow passageway. And the only way it could get through is if it has to kick up, it's going to be knocking up pebbles and kicking things. It's the only way it could muscle its way through this small passageway. And in doing so, some of the pebbles jump up, vizika causes damage. Mahu, what's the halacha in this case? Kevin di'if shala or chehu? So now, again, when the animal walks regularly and causes tsaros, that's a regular dinner tsaros. Our question here is, if it kicks, and while it kicks its way through, it causes tsaros, that's normally considered a shinoi, when you kick and cause tsaros. Only when tsaros are caused because of regular walking is that normal, but if it's caused because of kicking, that's abnormal. So in this case, the only way to get through this passageway is through kicking. So maybe since it's kicking is the only way, maybe this would be considered normal type of tsaros. Again, mahu, kevin diyef sharla, orchehu, since it's impossible in any other way, we view this type of tsaros as orche, and you have to pay according to Simchas and Rabbanan what they normally say by tsaros. O dilma hashtamia machmas bir kimenatza tsaros. Or maybe we don't care, since in the end of the day, it's the kicking that's causing the tsaros, it's going to be considered shinoi according to both Simchas and Rabbanan. So how do you classify this? What type of tsaros is this? Is this a shinoi tsaros? Or is this an Orchayu Tsaros? And the Gemara again ends in with a teku. We don't know. Okay, now the Gemara asks another question by Minei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mi Rabbi Zeira. Hayisa, hold on 1 second. Okay. Again, by Minei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mi Rabbi Zeira. Hayisa mehaleches b'shus harabim. If the animal is walking in the shuk. And I'm not sure, should we really read Bata there or not? There's a bunch of girsos there. We'll usually ignore parentheses, we're going to ignore it. As it's walking through Vetiza, it causes some pebbles to jump up. Vezeko, and it causes damage. Mahu, what's the halacha? So let's just review for a second. The halacha is when it comes to Regel in Rosh Hashanah is Pater. Regel is only Chayv in Rosh Hashanah. But Keren is Chayv in Rosh Hashanah. So we have to know, how do you categorize tsaros? All our discussions up until now, we haven't discussed where the location was. Now the Gemara is being very pointed. So do we say...
How do you have tsaros with Keren?
No, not that Keren. It's just talking about... We'll see in a second how to compare, what to compare it to. But Karen in general could only take place in Rosh Hashanah, anywhere.
Well, Karen
right.
can take place anywhere, right?
Right. So we want to know, is Shavuos considered more like Karen? The reason why we'll see in a second, because they're both Chatzi Nezek. Karen, for the first offense, the first time a shor gores, it's going to be half a Nezek, Chatzi Nezek. That's why one would compare it to Chatzi Nezek, to Karen. And yet, on the other hand, since it's regel is whenever it's regular walking through the shuk, so that's when regel is, so to a tzoros is during regular walking, that's what causes pebbles to jump up. So what's the model that we're comparing tzoros to? Are we saying, says the Gemara now, mahu lekeren medaminile? Is it similar to Karen in that they both pay chati nezek and you be chayaves in Rosh Hasharabim, just like Karen is? Well, Dilma told her the regel here, or do we view this as a regular, as a outgrowth? A regel, because they both take place and that it's during regular walking, it causes damage, and therefore be ptura, because regel is pat in Rosh Hasharabim. That's the suffix. So Amrlei, they say, Mistavra, it makes sense, told her that the regel who, it's really considered an outgrowth of the av of regel, and therefore it would be pater. But now let's say we've established it's a told of the regel. Let's say hitiza b'Rosh Hasharabim v'zeka b'Rosh Hashayachid mahu. The animal is walking in Rosh Hasharabim and it causes a pebble to fly, but that pebble lands in Rosh Hashayachid now. So do you go based in the beginning with the animal standing in Rosh Hasharabim would be pater, or do you go based in the end that it landed in Rosh Hashayachid, you would be chayef? Mahu, what's the lacha? So answers the Gemara, Amrlei, Akira Einkan Hanacha Yeshkan. It's borrowing a term that we have in Hilchas Shabbos, Hotzah, Akira Enkan Hanacha Yeshkan. There is no Akira, there is no lifting up, but there is Hanacha. What does this mean? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says four lines up from the bottom. This line should be read in Betmiya as a Shaila. Kolomar, Pater, Hov, Akira, Hu, Havi, B'makom, Ptur. Should there be a Ptur? Because that Kira took place in the Makam Ptur, with that, I'm asking a later Shiloh. Let's see, am I reading the right line? Is this the right application? I think it is, yeah. The Gemara should be said, is there an Akira, but there's no Hanacha, but there's only Hanacha? There's no Akira here, but there's Hanacha? I think the way it's trying to say is that, I would have read the Mishnah of the Gemara saying he should be Chayiv, but I think the way the Rashi reads it is as Pater. Let me just get this out here. Hold on.
You can't have an Akira, Hanacha, without an Akira.
Right. And therefore you'd be Pater, you would think, because the Akira took place in Rosh Hasharabim.
Right.
Yep, that's what it's saying exactly. Akira in Khan, but there's Hanacha Yishkan. There's no Akira, but there's Hanacha. No. If there's Hanacha, that means there's an Akira. They go hand in hand. So if the Akira started off in the Rosh Hasharabim, then the Halacha would be that's Pater. So that's what the Gemara initially says. So then asks the Gemara in the bottom here, Eisive, Haisam Halechas Bederech, the animal's walking Vitiza and it causes some pebbles to jump up. Bein Bishas Yachid, Bein Bishas Rabim Chayiv, whether or not it's Bishas Yachid, whether or not it's in Bishas Rabim, the din is Chayiv. Mai, what does it mean? Lav, is it not the case? Haisam Bishas Rabim, Vezeka Bishas Rabim. It is not talking about a case where he's walking through the Rosh Hasharabim and it causes damage in the Rosh Hasharabim. In that case, you're chayef. Now that would have to be assume that you're comparing Tros to Karen, because only Karen's chayef in Rosh Hasharabim. So the initial understanding is that we're assuming it's like Karen, and that's why you're chayef in Rosh Hasharabim. And the more answer is, well, that's not the case here. What it means is hitiza b'Rosh Hasharabim vezeka b'Rosh Hasharabim. They were saying that your chayiv, everybody agrees that Tzoros is not like Karen. And everybody therefore would agree that if the damage takes place in Rosh Hasharabim, you'd be pater. The question is, it kicks up from Rosh Hasharabim and lands in Rosh Hashayachid, that's what the Bryce is telling us, that you're actually going to be chayiv. Against what we said above. You would be chayiv in that case. But Gemara says, how could you be chayiv? The Ha'amers, didn't we say above, Akira Enkan, Hanacha Yishkan? We said there's an Akir. Every Hanacha has an Akir beforehand. And since that Akir took place in Rosh Hasharabim, you should actually be Pater. So the Gemara says, Amrlei Hajibi. I was Choser. I was Choser, meaning, I think he's Choser in saying that I think even though the Akir took place in Rosh Hasharabim, now he's agreeing that even though that happened, you still Chayiv, because you look at the end, where it landed. The concept of Akir Hanacha is something that's in by Hotzah, by Hilchos Shabbos. but not by Nezikin. And since in the end of the day, the Nezik took place in Rishus HaYachid, you would be Chayef. So the Gemara asks another question, Eisivei, from another Brisa. This could be our mission even. Darsa HaKli, the animal steps and stomps on a Kli. Vishibarta, and it breaks it. V'nofa Shever al HaKli Acher, and that piece of the broken pot flies and breaks another Kli Acher. Vishibru, and breaks it. So the halacha is, like we already know, al harishon meshalim nezek shalim. Ha'achron meshalim chati nezek. The first damage is a full amount, and the secondary damage on the other kli is only a chati nezek. V'tani Allah, and it was said on this Mishnah, b'med v'amamurim, when is this true? B'shus ha-nizak, when this all takes place in the rishus of the nizak, the one who's damaged. Aval b'shus ha-rabim, if it takes place in rishus ha-rabim, al harishon p'tura. You're pater in the Rishon because the Rishon was a din in Regel. Regel, we already know, is pater in Rishon's Rabbim. So that's why you're pater on the initial Kli that's stamped on. V'al Achron Chayefes. But on the Achron, the second one that was caused through Tsaros, that's going to be Chayef. My love, what is it not the case? Rishon's Rabbim, V'zeker Rishon's Rabbim, where that Kli flew off and broke another Kli that was also situated in Rishon's Rabbim, and you see your Chayef on Tsaros. So if that's the case, we see that Tsaros is like Keren, in which both cases are Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara says, well, that's not the scenario. It's really a case where Heteza Rishus HaRabim, Vezekim Rishus HaYachim. The initial Kli broke, which you're Pater on because it's regular Rishus HaRabim, then it flew over to someone else's personal property and caused damage in Rishus HaYachim. That's where you're Chayiv. So we see that you're Chayiv, and even though it started off in Rishus HaRabim, if it ended off in Rishus HaYachim, you're Chayiv. Ah, but didn't we say above the Ha'amris, didn't we say earlier, Akir Einkan, Hanachi Yeshkan? There's an Akir also, and the Akir started off in Rishus HaRabim, so you should be Pater. Amar Lehu, he answers again, Hajabi, I'm Choser, I'm retracting on that. I think you're actually going to be Chayiv in this case. So now the Gemara says the last word on the Amud, Eini, going on to Amud Beis now, is that really true? They're really true, Vahamar, Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Chati Nezek Chaluk, Lo Lishus HaYachid, Lo Lishus HaRabim. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that there is no distinction? We never distinguish between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. It's a halacha across the board, the whole way through. Meaning what? My love had tazer Rosh Hashanah, the zekah Rosh Hashanah. Does it not mean that even if the damage took place in Rosh Hashanah itself, you would still be chayv chati nezek? Which would mean that we're assuming that Tsaros is more like Keren, that you're chayv even in Rosh Hashanah, and not like Regel. And Gemara says, lo, that's not the case. What he means to say, Rabbi Yochanan means to say, is Heteza b'shus harabim v'zeika b'shus hayachid. That's the case. His question is, I don't care where the tzaros start off in. If the tzaros start off in b'shus hayachid, or start off in b'shus harabim, if it as long as it lands in b'shus hayachid, you're going to be chayv in all cases. It all goes based on where it lands. So the Gemara asks again, v'ha'amris, didn't we say above? Akira ain't kan, hanachi ishkan, isn't there Akira? And again, amrlei hajabi, I was choser. And Ibai is saying, alternatively, Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan Akeren. Maybe the other answer the Gemara suggests is, maybe Rabbi Yochanan's statement was taken out of context. When he says, Ein Chati Nezek Chaluk, when there's no difference between Chati Nezek you pay in every circumstance, he wasn't referring to Chati Nezek Tzaros. Nothing to do with what we've been talking about. He was talking about Chati Nezek of a regular Keren. When an animal gores another animal in the first three offenses, where we know it's considered a chati nezek, that would be paid in every single place, whether it's Rosh Hashanah Yochid or Rosh Hashanah Rabim, nothing to do at all with the halachas of Tzaros.
A goring would be a completely different...
Exactly, right. Completely different. They took this Rabbi Yochanan statement completely out of context. Because he said chati nezek, they got excited and said, oh, maybe he's referring to chati nezek of Tzaros, and the Gemara Sanga says, no, he was talking about chati nezek of Keren. Completely different discussion. Gemara now says, Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Nisia, Rabbi Oshaya, they were sitting down, Ikila, Rabbi Yehuda, and they went to visit. Rashi says, Ikila Pirka Shlifnei Abayis, some type of awning, I don't know, in front of the house. What do they say this means?
Porch.
A porch. They're sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yehuda. And Nafik Milsa Mibanayu, and certainly they were talking conversation of Torah, and something had come out from amongst their conversation, ki shichshecha bizan v'maho. Let's say the animal wags its tail and causes damage. So what's the halacha? So Rashi points out, what's the suffix? Rashi, the first narrow line down, says, kishich shecha bizan v'mahu orichehu uptur. Is that considered something normal b'shisarabim or lo? So I'm not sure why they're assuming that the porch is considered a b'shisarabim, but okay, let's assume the porch is considered a b'shisarabim.
So the animal. They
were talking. Oh, that's where they're talking. That's how we're. Nothing happened. Right.
Right.
So that's that. So I'm not sure the relevance of why they were talking there, but okay, they're talking on the porch. I wonder what we're trying to be learned. What's the lesson by the fact they're talking on the porch? I don't know. Okay.
Factual.
Okay. Factual. Okay. But everything in the Gemara has a certain point to it, I think. But either way, so the animal's walking in the Rishis HaRabim. And while about going its own business, it's wagging its tail, it's flapping it around, and it knocks over some kalim. So is that considered normal? And since it's Rosh Hashanah, normal, whenever you see normal orcha, that's regel, and regel would be pater and Rosh Hashanah, or dilma, or perhaps we say that's something that's abnormal, and one would be chai, because it's more like keren in Rosh Hashanah. So Amar Lei, so he answers the idach, the other one said, v'chi yochzena b'zanva v'yelech. So says Rashi, "V'chi yochzena baila b'zanva v'yelech." Is the animal going to, rather, is the owner going to grab onto the tail and walk? V'adai pater b'shis rabim. Not really sure what his response was. V'chi yochzena b'zanva v'yelech. How's that proving the point here? Is the responsibility of the Baal to hold on to the tail so it doesn't move? So whenever you're walking your dog, or whatever else you walk, you got to hold down or tie down the tail? Certainly not. So therefore, he would be that would be considered, I guess. Therefore, it would be pater versus rabim. That's the normal thing for it to do. Ihachi, that's the case. Karen nami name. Let's say the same thing by a Karen. Does an animal have to hold on to the horns of the bull as it walks through the Rosh Hashanah? Certainly not. That's not the responsibility of the Baal. So Hachiyash, the Gemara says, no. Okay. There's still a difference between the tail and the Karen. Karen lav orchehu. The Karen, the horns, is not something that it normally does. It doesn't normally gore things. Ha orchehu. But the wagging of the tail is considered something that's normal. So there's a distinction between the two. So now, if it's a normal thing to do, so what's the shaila? If animals normally do let their tails flap around, so avadai it would be considered regel, and you would be patan or shisarabim. So mami barley, what's the shaila? So the Gemara says kishchosh yisera mi barley. If it's really wagging the tail more than usual, it's going out of control. That's the question. If it's in a nice, calm way, back and forth like it normally does, vada yipadu. But it's a little bit more aggressive this time. It's whacking it back and forth like there's a fly that's bothering it and trying to knock the fly away. And in doing so, it knocks over Kalim. That's the shaila here. Is that considered now above? It's no longer regular. It's abnormal. And would be keren. And you would be chayiv. Or even that's considered something that's normal. And it would be pater b'shus harabim. Gemara ends. Doesn't it give us an answer? Again, it's a teku. Gemara doesn't say a teku, but l'chor, that's what it means. Okay. So now the Gemara says, by Rava'ina, kitshecha ba'ama samahu. Let's say the animal is using its male organ to cause damage. So then we're saying, mi amrinan mi de dehavia karen. Is this something that's similar to karen? It's something that's abnormal. And therefore would be considered chayiv. Do we say karen lav yitzu katakiflei? Hachanami lo shna. By the comes to the karen, it's not the yitzer. There's no like desire for it to cause damage. In which case, you would it's still chayiv. Here also, it wasn't. I think what I mean by yetzer, it's not the intent of an animal to cause damage in that way, and therefore it would be the same halacha. Or dilma, perhaps we say kevan de kavanas or dilma keren kavanas lahazik ha ein kavanas lahazik. Or do we say that with regards to keren, the intent was to damage? It wasn't the yetzer hara, but its intent for the animal is an animal. And sometimes it does have intent to damage. But this is no intent to damage, and therefore one should be pater. In this case, it wouldn't be considered like Karen. And the Gemara again ends off in a teku. Okay, now the Gemara says, Hatarna golem, muadim lahalech kedarkan l'shaber v'chulei. So chickens, they're considered muad. They cause damage. They jump all over the place and flap their wings and knock things over. So that's considered muad lahalech. And you'd be chayv to pay nezek shalem. So Amar Ravuna says, Lo Shanu Ela Shenikshar Me'elav. So So what's going on? So we're qualifying one of the other statements of the Mishnah. It's which case we're going on. I'm going to go back to that Mishnah for a second. This is Daf Yud Zayin. I think it was Daf Yud Zayin. Was it? Right, so the continuation of the Mishnah goes, and let's say there is a pail that was connected to the legs of the chicken, or that the chicken was jumping around and it breaks kelim. In that case, you'd pay chatzi nezek. So now, in the case where the Mishnah says that there's a pail that's connected, tied to the leg of the chicken, so you pay only chatzi nezek. So the Gemara is qualifying this and saying again, Amar Rav Huna. Lo shanu ela shenikshe me'elav. It's only true if accidentally it got connected. Me'elav, it wasn't on purpose. Accidentally it got tied up in the dili and it's busy flapping around. It's dragging the pail with it. Avak kishu adam chayiv. So if a person went along and tied the pail to the chicken, so then the owner would be chayiv to pay the full amount. Rashi explains why. Rashi says around 10 lines down, Aval kishu adam chayiv hakosher, the one who tied it, is chayiv nezek shalim, dehave bor, it's like a bor. Vim niska bo adam chayiv benisko. So it's talking about a situation, if a person were to trip on that pail, he'd be chayiv. So the Gemara says, nikshar melav man chayiv. Let's say the chicken gets tied up in the pail. Who's chayiv? Who's responsible for that case? Chicken just flying around and winds up being tied up in a pail. Ilema bal hadolil hechidami. If it's where the owner of the pail is chayiv, so what's the case here? Idat snuye anasu. If he took the pail and hid it somewhere, and somehow the chicken got to that pail, I'm completely honest. I protected it. Not my fault that the chicken broke into my closet of pots. So I'm not chayiv. That's completely honest. Vilo atznuye, if I didn't hide it, I left the pail there in the open for the chicken to get to it, then poshehu, then I'm posheya, and I'd be chayiv to pay the full amount, not chatzi nezek, but the full amount. Ela chay bal hartanagol. So then the owner of the tarnagol would be chayiv. So why? Why is the owner of the tarnagol chayiv here? Maishna kule nezek dilo. Why is the owner of the tarnagol not chayiv to pay the full amount? Right now the Gemara is assuming, we think that this din is a din of boar. It's considered a boar. But when the chicken has a pail stuck to its leg, and somebody trips on it, you pay a full amount. So now if it's like boar, so the bal tarnagol, why don't I have to pay the full amount? Dichsiv ki iftach ish boar v'lo shor boar. The pasuk says when a person opens up a mamish a pit, but you can't make an animal, not a shor boar, you can't make an animal into a pit, you can't make a chicken into a pit, so therefore you don't pay the full amount like a regular boar. So then the Gemara says, chatzi nezek nami, so too, you should not have to pay chatzi nezek either, because ish boar v'lo shor boar, that it's a person is a boar, but a shor is not a boar. What does that mean? Where's the pasuk here? When a person makes a boar, as opposed to an animal making a boar. It says the pasuk ish boar two times. So those two times should knock it down one time from full nezek to a chatzi nezek. And the other instance of ish boar should knock it down to zero. So really there should be no responsibility on the bal hatarnagol. The Gemara says, fine, granted. If a tarnagol ever makes himself into a boar, granted that the owner of the tarnagol would not be chayev midin boar. El masnis, in our Mishnah is talking about a case, bidaldia aduye, where it's throwing, the chicken's throwing things. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Is there Rashi or? Oh, yeah, is there Rashi? You see that? So, Rashi says he's throwing the pots. However, the chicken does it, he throws it around, and now it becomes a dinet seros. And once a dinet seros, so then you have to pay the chatzi nezek. That's the case. Nothing to do with boar here. It's mamish, he's throwing pails around. And then the Gemara says v'chi itmar to Rav Huna ba'alma itmar. When Rav Huna said a statement above about when the animal got tied by himself, Melav, versus someone else tied the dili to the chicken, that was a general statement. Nothing to do with our mission at all. Our mission is talking about a case where the chicken's throwing pots and pans at things. That's Tsuros. His statement was a general statement. So then the Gemara says, Dilil Hefker. So it's talking about a case of, let's say, the pot wasn't owned by anybody. So there's no Balha Dilil here. There's no one to be responsible. So Amar Ravuna, Ravuna said, Niksha Me'ela Pater. If the chicken gets tied up with this pail and serves now as a boar, he'd be Pater. There's nobody to be b'chayiv him. There's no owner of the boar, and the Baal Tarnagol is not chayiv either, because, as we said before, only if a person makes a boar are you chayiv, but if an animal makes a boar, no one's chayiv. But if a kisho adam, chayiv. But if a person ties the delil to the charnagol, then that person who was kosher would be chayiv. He created the boar. Asks Gemara, Amishumai, chayiv. What's he chayiv for? Amravuna Barmanoach Mishim Boro Hamis Galel Baragli Adam Uragli Behema. It's Chai Mishdin Bor. We saw above that boar. It's not really a classic boar here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Mishim Mai Michayev Dehala Bor Ma'alyahi. That's not a real typical boar here. Sharei Lo Hezek B'Malkum Shekishusham. Normally a boar is wherever you place the initial stumbling block, whether it be a pit or something else, it stays in that place. This animal is running around with it, connected to the things, dragging along with it. That's what we saw a few days ago, what's called Habor HaMisgalgel. It's being knocked around in the, everyone's kicking the can along the streets, and wherever it ends up down the road, if it causes some damage and somebody trips, the initial person who left it in one place, even though it goes miles down the road, he would be chayiv. So you have to also, eventually, wherever the damage would be caused, it would be considered Habor HaMisgalgel, and the kosher, the adam who's kosher, would be chayiv for the damage. Okay, we're done with all the halachas at Tzoros. New Mishnah tells us, Ketad HaShein. Now we want to know what's halacha when it comes to Shein. Halachas of when the animal eats. So the Mishnah says, Ketad HaShein Mu'edes. What's the case where the Shein is Mu'edes Le'echo? That's a Roila. It's Shein. It's considered normal to eat things that it normally eats. Whatever an animal normally eats, that's considered paying, you would pay Nezek Shalim. Animals typically eat fruits and vegetables, and if they were to eat, let's say in my backyard, remember, Shein is only chayv in Rishus HaNizak, it's pater in Rishus HaRabim. So let's say I have my fruits and vegetables in my backyard, and you let your dog in my backyard and eat the fruit and the vegetables, you be chayv nezek shalim. Achla ksus, let's say the dog eats my shirt, or kalim, or pots. The halacha would be mishalim chati nezek, because that would be considered shinoi. That's not normal. You pay chati nezek anytime there's mishuna. Anytime there's something different, it's a chati nezek. Just like because Karen is also different. Animals don't normally gore. When it does gore, it's considered shinoi. You pay chati nezek. Bamed v'mamur. When is this all true? Rishus hanizak, as we said above, you only chayv shein in rishus hanizak. Aval b'shus harabim pater. Your pater, the shein takes place. If I had my fruits and vegetables out in the marketplace, I'd be pater, or you would be pater for eating my fruit. Vim nenes mishalames mashin nenes. But if you get hana, you don't pay nezek, but you do pay nehana. Meaning what? You know, your animal, you now are getting hana that you don't have to feed your animal. Normally you'd have to pay $20 to give your animal some food. But now he ate my food, so you just saved some money, so you owe me at least the hana. Now, even though, let's say, the Gemara is going to explain how do you figure out the hana. If my apples are worth $20 of apples, and you would normally only pay $5 of barley to it, so you'd have to pay the $5 that you've gained by not having to feed the animal this meal. Right?
That's what he eats in his rishus, by the
way. Exactly, rishus ha-yachid, exactly.
Well, if you're eating Rishus HaYachid, then you should be responsible for the whole thing. You have no right to eat the beginning.
Nah,
your animal has
you're right.
No right to be there.
No, this is Rishus HaRabim. I'm sorry. In Rishus HaYachid, you pay the full amount. That's Nezek.
Right.
Rishus HaRabim, that's not considered Nezek.
Right.
So then you have to pay only the Hana that you gain, the $5 as opposed to the $20. So Gemara says, let's see, Ketad, Mishalem Es Man Shenenes. How do you pay according to what you've benefited? Achla Mitoch HaRchava. If he ate from the streets, Rishus HaRabim, Mishalem Es Mashin Enes, you have to pay the amount of Hana. I think the Gemara is going to explain more details about this. Mitzidei Harchava, let's say it was the side of the Rishus HaRabim, but not, it wasn't actual Rishus HaRabim, it was, I don't know, one of the side streets, which does not qualify as Rishus HaRabim, then Mishalem Es Mashazeka. Then you have to pay according to what you damaged, the full amount of what the animal ate, because that's considered lav orche, that's not normal. Mipesach achanus, mishalames mashinenes. If he ate, let's say the animal, the store owner was advertising apples and oranges out in the front, on the streets where everybody walks, advertising, and the animal comes along and starts eating the fruit, That's considered a regular. But Shisharabim, you only pay what you benefited. But let's say mitoch harachanus. Let's say the animal sticks its head inside the store. Then mishalemes masha zeka. Then you have to pay damage. So we see that's the distinction that regel schayv and rishus hanizak, patin rishus rabim. But even though he's patin rishus rabim for shein and regel, I shouldn't say that. Regel is always patin rishus rabim. Shein's patin from nezek and rishus rabim, but you're chayv hana in rishus rabim. That's the difference between regel and shein. That again, Shein you paid Hana, Regel you're completely pater in Rishus Harab. So Gemara now quotes a Brisa Tanur Rabbanim. Ha Shein Muadis Lechol Asaroi La. The Shein you're chayv on something that it normally eats. Keitzad Behema Shenichnas Alachatzar Nizak. He enters into my property. Achla Ochlin Ruin La eats things that it normally eats. Or Shasasa Mashkim She Harui La or drinks water or anything else that it normally drinks. Mishalim Nezek Shalim. You have to pay the full amount. V'chein so to a chaya, a wild animal. Now a wild animal eats other animals. It eats my little cat, let's say, and eats the meat. Mishalim nezek shalom, you have to eat the full amount. Or a para, a cow, sheachla saorim, a cow normally eats barley, so it eats my barley. Or a chamer sheachal karshinen, or a donkey eats, what's karshinen?
Vetch.
Okay. A kelev shalika kes hashemen, or a dog that licks up my oil, or chazir sheachal chaticha shebasar, or a pig eats a piece of meat. All these things are normal, are roin, each animal according to what they normally eat. The lachid you pay mishalim nezek shalom. You pay the full amount. Samer Rapapa says hashda the amris kol midei de lav orchei va'achle lei are the hadachak shmei achila. Now that we've said anything that they eat that's not considered normal, and they eat it ayde tichak, is shmei achila. So that's where is he coming from here? One second here. Aha. So normally an animal is willing to eat anything. An animal has certain things and certain foods that they would normally eat, but if you really fed it anything and it was really hungry, it would eat anything you put in front of it. So now that if that's the case, that's considered still an achila. So if a shunra, if a certain type of cat, da'achal tamre, where he eats dates, though normally doesn't eat dates, or a chamra, da'achal bainsa, or a donkey, where he eat a, what does it say it is?
What's fish.
Fish, okay. Which he normally doesn't eat, you'd still pay mishalim nezek shalim. Because the very fact that he would eat ayde dechak, and in a very extreme circumstance, tells us that it does qualify as achila. It's still considered under the rubric of roi la'achila, even though it only would be eaten ayde dechak. So now the Gemara says, Hahu chamra dachanama upalsa lisala. Let's say the donkey eats a piece of bread and also, what, chews the basket, but doesn't actually eat the basket, just chews it and spits it out. What's the lacha? Chayve Rav Yehuda l'shalim nezek shalim. This was a mice that happened once. Anahama. So Rav Yehuda paskin, they have to pay the full amount on the bread because donkeys, even though they don't normally eat bread, it would eat bread if it was shastachak. So you pay the nezek shalim for eating the bread. And asala on the basket, chatinezek, because that's not normal. Animals don't eat baskets. That's not edible. So you pay a chatinezek only. Vamai, why? Why do you only pay a chatinezek on the basket? Kevin de orche lemechel nehama. Since it's normal to eat bread, orchayo nami lefsol asala. It's normal while eating the bread, it chews the basket. The donkeys don't take, you know, the bread out of the basket. It eats the whole thing in one. And whatever it's able to swallow, it swallows. And whatever it can't swallow, it spits out. And even if it were to swallow the basket, that's still considered, that's normal, because it just takes the whole thing in its mouth. I imagine like if a dog sees a candy bar and a candy wrapper, would probably eat everything all together and just put it all into the mouth. I'd imagine. They can't like open the wrapper and take it out. The Gemara says, De'achal v'hadar palas. It ate it. And then afterwards, after eating the bread, then it chewed it as a separate act. That's why we're viewing this as a shunah. If it ate it in one shot, ein hachanami, you pay the full amount on both the bread and the basket. But it happened in two separate stages. Upas or fine. That's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara challenges this last point. Upas or cheu. Is it considered normal for a donkey to eat bread? That you pay the nezek shalem? Urminu, the Gemara asks the question. Achla pasu basar fitavshil mishalim chati nezek. The animal eats bread or meat or something other cooked item. You only pay chati nezek. My labe behema. Are we not referring to behema? So we see even domesticated animals, chamor, donkeys, considered a behema. You'd only pay chati nezek on eating bread. Versus lo, we're talking about a chaya. A chaya, the chaya who eat bread, that's not normal for a wild animal. That's why I pay chati nezek. Versus, wait a second, we're talking about a chaya? Chaya basar or chayhu. The wild animals eat bread, eat meat rather. And the brisa had lumped together pas and basar together that you only pay chati nezek. So the chayas always eat at basar. What's it talking about that you'd only pay if my lion, which is a chaya of course, would eat your basar, I'd only pay chati nezek? That's very normal for animals such as lions and chayos to eat basar. The Gemara says no, dimatve, where it was cooked. Meaning an animal, a lion, eats raw meat. It won't eat cooked meat. That's not normal for it to eat cooked meat. So that's why you only pay chati nezek in this case. And so too, you only pay chati nezek on the bread because chayas don't eat bread either. Alternatively, bitavia. Tavia is referring to a tzvi. You switch the tes and the tzadi, oftentimes in Aramaic, it becomes a tzvi, a deer. So tzvi doesn't, deer is, even though a deer is a chaya, it's a different type of chaya, it's not a lion. A deer won't eat bread or basar. Exactly. Ibaisema, alternatively, liolam bebehema. Really, that we are referring to a behema. So we're talking about a behema, so how come this is saying that you pay chati nezek on bread? Yet above, Rav Yehuda Paskin, that by a donkey, you pay a nezek shalem. What's halacha? Do behemos eat bread, or do they not eat bread? So the Gemara answers, ubepsura, says Rashi, it's referring to on the shulchan, that the animal, the dog, or the animal jumped on top of the table. That's not normal. Fine. Let's read a few more lines. Maybe we'll go to the two dots. Actually, there's no two dots here. Maybe we'll stop here. This is actually a good stopping point, I guess. So let's stop here. Okay, fine. Very good.